So Donna made the mistake of asking me to do a bodhicitta motivation. Anyway, so I have to put this in context because I don't think it. Anyway, I think it's important because it is the reason Kadabra Center exists really is because of this motivation. So just hot off the press, this motivation really has to do with making our lives meaningful. And it may not resonate with everyone, but it is it's the aspiration that we all have, that those who practice in this tradition aspire to have it. Of course, we're a work in progress, but this just came out November 30th, so we're not talking many days ago, talking about U.S. life expectancy down, overdose and suicide rates up. And it says, notable increases were observed in drug overdose deaths and suicides. The overdose rates nearly doubled from 2006 to 2016, hitting 20 deaths per 100,000. Meanwhile, suicide rates rose steadily among adults 25 to 44, reaching 17 deaths per 100,000, higher than heart disease death rate. Among those aged 15 to 24, suicide became the second leading cause of death in 2016. And among children aged 1 to 14, the rate reached 1 per 100,000. These are sobering statistics and a wake-up call that we are losing too many Americans too early, too often, to conditions that are preventable. So this is serious. You know, having our lives be meaningful, having a sense that our lives are meaningful, that's a lack of a sense of meaning is one of the common themes in people who die from drug overdoses or have issues with addictions. And I'm going to read just a couple of words from Viktor Frankl, who survived. He was a Viennese psychiatrist who wrote a book, Man's Search for Meaning. He survived 3 years in Nazi concentration camps. And anyway, he wrote this book, which has really been out for, I don't know, over 50 years, 60 years, 70 years. Very powerful book. A lot of people have read it, and maybe some of you have. So he said, it's a characteristic of American culture that again and again one is commanded or ordered to be happy. But happiness cannot be pursued. It must ensue. One must have a reason to be happy. Once the reason is found, however, one becomes happy automatically. As we see, a human being is not one in pursuit of happiness, but rather in search of a reason to become happy. Once an individual's search for a meaning is successful, it not only renders him happy, but also gives him the capability to cope with suffering. And then he talks about the drug scene is one aspect of a more general mass phenomena, namely the feeling of meaninglessness resulting from frustration of our existential needs, which in turn have become a universal phenomena in our industrial societies and so on. So having our life be meaningful, and this meditation is going to give us a reason to, this is the Tibetan Buddhist version of how to make our lives meaningful. And it may not resonate, as I said, but it really has to do with where this meditation is going to end up is we want to help others. We want our own happiness. Why? So we can be of service to others. So the goal is to be a perfect servant, be able to perfectly help others in whatever way is possible to help them find happiness and satisfaction, and even all the way up to full enlightenment. And how do we do that? We get our act together. We practice the Bodhisattva path. We calm our own minds. We develop our good qualities and so on, and purify our negativity. So that's where bodhicitta, the Mahayana motive for practice, is I must become enlightened. Why? In order to help others. So that's where, you know, for a lot of us, you know, we just have, you know, there are people here that probably are dealing with huge problems, maybe diagnosis of cancer, depression, stress, and the thought of dedicating our lives to others seems like it just doesn't connect with our reality. However, the invitation here is that when we do this, when we can sincerely dedicate our lives to others, our happiness is just a byproduct of that. It just comes along the way. By the way, you find what you want in the process of sincerely dedicating your life to others. This is the kind of what our teachers tell us, and those who maybe have had some experience with that. So we'll start out with a little meditation. Sit up straight on your chair or your meditation cushion, and bring your awareness to your body. You want your spine reasonably straight. Relax your jaw, your shoulders a little bit down and back. And start out with some deep breaths, just some cleansing breaths, just full inspiration, full expiration. Just allow your any tension, anxiety, discursive, chattering mind, just let that go. And bring your attention to your breath. It could be the sensation of the rising and falling of the abdomen. Whatever most attracts you, whatever most excuse me, grabs your attention. It could be the rising and falling of the abdomen, the expansion of the chest as you breathe in and out, or that sensation at the nostrils. You'll notice as you breathe in, it's kind of cool, and as you breathe out, it's warmer. But you want your mind to be completely absorbed, completely focused on whatever place you choose to anchor your breath, anchor your mind. And when the mind wanders, we bring it back. We bring the attention back to the breath. And you keep bringing the mind back gently, escorting it back to the breath as it wanders off. You know, maybe you've been sitting here for 5 minutes and you haven't had 1 second where you've been fully present, but right now is the opportunity to bring your mind back. That's the practice of bringing your mind back again and again and again, building up that muscle of mindfulness. So to develop this altruistic intention to become enlightened, which is based on love and compassion, and then just to make it clear, in Buddhism, compassion has to be conjoined with wisdom. It's not a given that it would be. You know, they use example in the text of a monkey who sees the fish swimming in the stream and runs over and thinks, oh, they're suffering, they're going to drown. And he grabs the fish and throws them on the rock to save them. That's called idiot compassion. It's compassion without wisdom. You know, giving the drug addict more fentanyl because he's suffering from withdrawal symptoms. That is not compassion. That's might look like it. The motivation might seem right, but wisdom is missing. Gotta have wisdom with compassion. So to develop this wish to become enlightened, enlightened in everyday terms, is to eliminate our faults and develop our qualities so we can be of service to others in the most amazing way possible. But to do that always has to start out with equanimity, because we can't like, oh, well, I want to become enlightened for the people I like or that are like me, but the people that I don't like, well, to heck with them. Now, this is getting enlightened even for our enemies. We want to develop our qualities. And so we need this notion of equanimity, of having equal regard for the friends, the strangers, and the enemies. These universal living beings always has to start out there if we're going to end up with bodhicitta, that foundation of equanimity. And then there's a whole series of meditations, but we're going to focus on just one today. But we'll start out usually, if we go the long way about it, combining the two streams of how to develop bodhicitta, we see like, we realize that all sentient beings have been our mother, like our mother in this life has been our mother in past lives and will be our mother again in future lives. We've all had to have a mother in each of our infinite previous lifetimes. And so we open up, creatively align with the idea that everyone has been family. At some point in the past, everyone has been our mother. Then we remember the kindness of our mother of this life, or whoever has been most kind to us, and we extrapolate that and think everyone's been as kind to me as they've all been my mother in past lifetimes. Mama Yeshe used to call everybody, he used to label them kind mothers, kind mothers, sentient beings. He would say, he you call everybody dear. You know, we like, why is he calling me dear? But he called everybody dear. And then the next is this wish to repay the kindness of our mothers. And the next meditation has to do with seeing the equality of self and others. Like, everybody wants to be happy. Nobody wants to suffer. We all equally want happiness and don't want to suffer. From the tiniest, you know, sentient being, who knows how small they are, you know, certainly insects, things like that. No living being wants to suffer, and every living being wants to be happy. So we're all equal that way. Then we focus on how self-cherishing selfishness is like, if there's a devil, you might say, it doesn't have like horns and a pointed tail, the source of all suffering and all of that stuff. The real source of our suffering lies in our heart. It's a selfish, self-centered attitude that thinks, me, me, I. It focuses only on, you know, its main interest is me. Me and I. We call it self-cherishing selfishness. And we say that all of the suffering from beginningless time until now, from individuals to societies to all the different realms of existence, all stem from one demonic thought, the self-cherishing I, sense of I. And the source of all happiness is cherishing others. The source of all happiness is reversing that selfish energy and focusing out, cherishing others. And then the next point, as you know, is to practice, instead of cherishing ourselves all the time, we imagine that we're others, and we train ourselves to cherish others. It's not like we become others, but we exchange that self-cherishing attitude to the attitude of cherishing others. As Lama Yeshe used to say, as much as I can, I dedicate my life to others. We focus on others' welfare. And then the next meditation, and the one we're going to do now, just for a few minutes, has to do with developing love and kindness and compassion. And it's like wishing others to be happy. And so, you know, it's always easier to start out with somebody that you care about. So you think about somebody that is important to you, or it could be yourself, but you think, may you be at ease, may you be free of suffering. So may you be at ease is like loving kindness. May you be free of suffering is like compassion. Those are just words, but we need to connect to the feeling behind these words. May you be at ease. May you be free of suffering. And then the next step is to develop this attitude of universal responsibility, where we think that I am not somebody else's job. It's my personal responsibility to help others and guide them from confusion to happiness. But I don't have the ability. I have to develop myself. I have to develop my qualities and eliminate my faults. I need to practice the path of renunciation, bodhicitta, and emptiness, and develop, you know, the generation and completion stages of Tantra, the whole path to enlightenment, I need to actualize in my mind stream. So we come to this conclusion that based on love, genuine, heartfelt love and compassion, and I must become enlightened. I must enlighten means eliminate my faults, develop my good qualities. I must become enlightened in order to be in order to help others, to help guide others from their current state of confusion to supreme happiness. And so that is the meaning of life. That's the that makes our lives meaningful, when we can take that motivation to heart. Okay, so we can relax concentration. I've used up my time and then some. Thank you.
From the Gold Prayer Book, please turn to page 34 and we'll begin with the opening prayers. Start with the Shakyamuni Buddha mantra. And if you have the white binder and not the gold prayer book, just turn to the first page titled Kadampa Center Prayers. Te ata om mane mane maha manaye soha. Te ata Maha Munaye Soha Te Ata Om Ne Mane Maha Munaye Soha. Now the Medicine Buddha stands in mantra. If you have the white binder, it's on the blue sheet. Bhagawan with equal compassion for all, whose name when merely heard dispels the suffering of the lower realms, dispel of disease and the three poisons, I prostrate to Medicine Buddha, lapis light. So let's say the mantra three times. Te ata om bekande bekande maha bekande bekande radha samugate soha. Te ata om bekande bekande maha bekande bekande radha samugate soha. Te ata om bekande bekande maha bekande bekande radha samugate soha. Now the four measurables, one time. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. I'll turn the page and it's at the bottom of page 37, are two mantras. So let's chant Chenrai Six mantra 8 times, and he's the Buddha of great compassion. And then Green Taurus mantra 7 times, and she's the deity of enlightened activity. Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Om Mani Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Thank you. The children are welcome to go to their classes.
Hi, everybody. For the children's program for the next month, we are doing a special holiday family dharma, and so therefore we ask the parents to come join their children for a special dharma teaching with the kids, separate from the adults, one that they can handle instead of sitting in here. Okay, so thank you.
And Lori Robbins has a very quick announcement, important announcement for you. Good morning, everybody. Bodhicitta. Today is Lama Tsongkhapa Day, and it is a special day that we should rejoice in our generous practice of offerings to our merit boxes. So this is what we are using to collect the merit box offerings. Is it too heavy? Are you okay? So I wanted you to celebrate and look what your practice of generosity has built this year. And then consider how when we put our contributions together, it multiplies the... Thank you. Sorry. Consider how putting our donations together multiplies this offering and the merit that we're generating. So I want you all to take a moment to rejoice and rejoice and rejoice in this. The Merit Box Fund, if you don't know, supports Lama Zopa Rinpoche's FPMT projects that are around the world. They are devoted to the transmission of Mahayana Buddhist tradition. The international success of the Merit Box project is reason for great rejoicing, and it's a true testament to the collective generosity of the FPMT community. Over the past 16 years, the Merit Box Project has collected and distributed more than $1 million to FPMT projects around the world, and our own Dear Kadampa Center has received extremely helpful grants for 4 of the 5 last Light of the Path retreats. Last year alone, we received $8,717 to support that retreat, and over 200 people attended. There are projects that support Sangha, that build holy objects, provide educational opportunities such as the Light of the Path, and translating ancient texts to make them more available to us. What's a better way to benefit others than to provide Dharma teaching? So I wanted to take a minute and just do all together 3 Om Ah Homs to bless this box and the offerings that we'll be collecting over the next month. So it'll be out here in the lobby. If you forgot your box today, it's not a problem. All right. Om Ahum. Om Ahum. Om Ahum. It is time to celebrate. Be joyful in your efforts and celebrate what you did this year and all of us together. We have practiced generosity, which is the perfect antidote to attachment. Thank you. Thanks, Lori. Isn't it great to have a chance to give back? Okay, to continue with our festivities, Don is going to give us a very brief history. You know, we're all connected with Lama Tsongkhapa because he... oh, my God. Hi, Mike. sorry, member who lives out of state now. Welcome, welcome. Great day to be here. Because Lama Tsongkhapa was the founder, essentially, of the Gelugpa tradition that we're in. But Kadampa Center has a very particular connection to Lama Tsongkhapa. Take it away, Don.
So everything is a dependent arising, right? So the name, so for years, actually, before the Kadampa Center really existed, there were a little group, Herb and, is Joanna here? She's not, but Patrick was around, but he was a hedonistic type, nihilist, whatever. Agnostic. Back in the day, now he's like one of the most dedicated members here and very sincere practitioner. But back in the day, Patrick gave up so much time and energy, and he knows what happened And we'd ask Lama Zopa for a name, and he'd keep saying no. This happened multiple times because he didn't think we were ready. And he was right. We weren't. But finally, again, largely thanks to Herb and Patrick, we built out the basement of Jack Rice's, but, you know, the sheetrock, and painted it and fixed it up really nice and put some carpet down. And we obtained the three statues of Lama Tsongkhapa and his two disciples. We got those statues and that was the all we had on the altar. And so anyway, wasn't much, and there was just a handful of us, but the attitude back then was build it and they will come. It turned out good, but we didn't know for sure. But fast forward, things, you know, there were a lot of people working hard. So back in on October 13, 1991, Lama Zopa wrote, I think this is his handwriting, and he wrote us a note from Sydney, Australia, and I'm not going to read all of it, but I'll just kind of hit the high points. I hope you're all well and happy. Thank you for all the sincere, kind letters. The name that came out best was Kadampa Center. That's what he said. It's very important to start the center officially on the right day. So we didn't know what that meant. So we turned, so I guess we just decided Lama Tsongkhapa Day was going to be the right day. So it was about this time of the year because it happens, but it was a rainy, that day it rained and that night it rained. And the only people that showed up to do the prayers were Joanna and I. But that's how small we were. We did the Diamond Cutter Sutra. But anyway, so Lama Zopa says, since the teachings were started, it's been beneficial. The reality is the cause of death, rebirth, and all the rest of the problems is the mind. Surprise, right? So practicing Dharma means generating the new thought, which is the path for the mind that eliminates the minds, which are the cause of all the problems. That's how we can achieve, only through Dharma, the experience of liberation, free forever from suffering and its causes. Then receive enlightenment by even ceasing the imprint of karma and disturbing thoughts. Looking at the outside world on the TV, radio, news, papers, always problems are trying to be solved from the outside. But this doesn't purify the cause at all. That's how Lama Zopa would say, at all, exclamation point. Even if affects the problem, like medicine cures disease, it's only temporary and it arises again and again, like the poisonous root in the ground. If you cut only the stem, it grows back again and again. Therefore, you can see how important it is to spread the Dharma, for that you need a meditation center, which means people doing listening and reflecting meditation by having the appropriate facilities. You can see how it is of the utmost need and the best service to living beings. It gives meaning to our lives by doing this Dharma service. I will pray for the complete teachings of Dharma to spread through Kadampa Center, that it become the wish-fulfilling Dharma Center. The important thing is to do as skillfully as possible spiritual programs and guided meditations. With much love and prayer, Zopa. And again, that was October 13, 1991. So that was, you know, 27 years ago. So so the official, you know, that this letter came, and then we officially opened the center on Lama Tsongkhapa Day, about 6 weeks later. Yeah.
Thank you, Don.
Yeah.
And Patrick's going to talk now about who Lama Tsongkhapa was and why we should care.
I'm going to stay sitting down, so I'm going to try and make this as brief as possible, but I wanted to say a couple of things. In the beginning of introduction would be, one Tibetan master said that even a year would not be sufficient time to adequately describe the beneficial accomplishments of Lama Tsongkhapa. So 5 minutes is kind of a year. So the other thing that I was going to quote Geshe Gelug quotes Kensa Rinpoche Lobsang Gelug in saying that whatever you do, however much or how little, try and do it well. So I sent it today while we're doing this. I think so far we're doing very well. So I feel very good about that. What I wanted to talk about a little bit was to place Lama Tsongkhapa in context as well, so that we understand that, as Don was saying, in terms of dependent arising, the history leading up to Lama Tsongkhapa and the tradition since then. And in terms of that, if I forget to mention, you can ask me, because I'm going to try and mention Nalanda Institute, Monastery, and a couple of other things. But that's just a hook there for, some people were recently back from visiting Nalanda, I believe, so you can keep that in mind. In terms of Tibet, Tibetan Buddhism started with Padmasambhava, who went to Tibet in 810 AD. So Tibet was one of the later countries to achieve, to develop Buddhism or to encounter Buddhism, and it was a Mahayana tradition. And Padmasambhava was a great tantric practitioner and went to not only Tibet but Nepal and Bhutan and perhaps some others, but those are the ones that I'm familiar with. About 200 years after that, the king of Songun Detsen requested that another teacher come to revitalize and spread the Dharma throughout Tibet. And that was the occasion for Atisha, who lived from 982 to 1054. So around the 11th century, Atisha, who wrote A Lamp for the Path to Enlightenment. And that was one of Atisha's accomplishments, for, as well as for traveling to, I think, Sumatra or Bali to visit a master to revitalize the Mahayana practice, which had fallen into disarray in India, and bring that to Tibet. So, and in The Lamp for the Path to Enlightenment, that's the first established the idea of a graduated path, which I think to me is very different. I think if we had time, it'd be interesting to have a discussion about, for me, I've been thinking about what it means to have a graduated path with fairly defined steps and to practice that, as opposed to just say it's a path and you just take off on it and try and figure out where you are from time to time. Then Lama Tsongkhapa was born in 1357 in Amdo, Tibet, and was recognized. There were very auspicious omens at the time of his birth, and the abbot of a nearby monastery began to try and figure out what these auspicious signs were pointing towards. And at the age of three, he determined that Lama Tsongkhapa was the cause of these auspicious signs. And he asked Lama Tsongkhapa's father if he could become his spiritual Lama Tsongkhapa's spiritual tutor. And so at the age of six, Lama Tsongkhapa moved from home, from his home where he had been receiving some teachings, to the monastery. And at the age of eight, he took his novice vows. And at that time, received the name, Lozong Drapka, which I believe means great faithful heart. It's said also in some history that that many monks and many Tibetans receive, first name of Losang or Lobsang. It's spelled either L-O-S-A-N-G or L-O-B-S-A-N-G. And that includes, when I was reading that, I suddenly realized that that includes Geshe Gelug's teacher, Kensa Rinpoche. So, I don't know. It's, that's one of the, I'd have had an opportunity to ask Geshe Gelug if he could tell me that. At the age of 25, Lama Tsongkhapa, did extensive meditation and practices, throughout his lifetime, but, up until the age of 25 when he, took full ordination. And I think one other, point in his life that I think is worth mentioning that isn't often characterized is that at the age of 41, he and eight other disciples went into a four-year retreat, and Lama Tsongkhapa was trying to develop the his understanding of emptiness and wisdom, and was seeking the advice and the presence of Manjushri, the Buddha of wisdom, and at the he recounted later that at one point he was reading a text from Buddhapalita, and then that night when it had a dream in which Indian masters came to him, and Buddhapalita placed the book on his forehead, when Lama Tsongkhapa woke up, he returned to that place in the text that he was reading the night before, and at that time achieved a realization of emptiness, and is considered that moment of enlightenment. And I just would mention that because that's one of the aspects of Lama Tsongkhapa, is that he's was practicing at the time, just 600 years ago, but at a time when the writing and the text were fully developed, and there's an opportunity for him to recount and to record his insights into. So I, just to finish very quickly, the things that are that are mentioned as his accomplishments or the revitalization of the monastic code of discipline in Tibet, the establishment of the Great Prayer Festival during the first fortnight of the new year in Lhasa in 1409, which was practiced continuously then in Lhasa and throughout Tibet until 1959, when the Dalai Lama had to leave on the occasion of the Great Prayer Festival. The establishment of the Ganden Monastery was the first monastery in the Gelupa tradition, which was the followers of Lama Tsongkhapa. And Ganden means the joyous and is a Tibetan name given to Tushita, the pure land of Maitreya. And then throughout his life, but in his later years, he had extensive writings and teachings, including the Monmam Chenmo, the great treatise, about his writings comprised about 18 volumes. And then his two sons, that are on his left and right, had further writings, and those volumes are, I think, I can't remember now how many volumes that they covered. And one other of his disciples, who was instrumental in the building of Ganden Monastery, was later possibly recognized as the first Dalai Lama. So the tradition of the Dalai Lama is connected to Lama Tsongkhapa, and that has gone through to the times when His Holiness talks about about the Nalanda tradition and having the opportunity from after leaving Tibet to bring the Nalanda tradition back to India. He is talking about Lama Tsongkhapa primarily because, as you know from reading that he continually cites Indian masters in establishing the teachings as opposed to just Tibetan or his own insights. So Nagarjuna and Shantideva. I'd say Shantakirti. I was thinking of the Nalanda tradition. Shantideva is also part of the Nalanda tradition. But Shantakirti and there are several others that I won't mention now. But I think that and says if I have the I don't have the I don't have the his last part of where he talks about his characterizing his practice, but I'll leave that for now then. Sorry for this rather fragmented, but thank you. Oh, I might say just to know that Lama Tsongkhapa Day is the 25th day of the 10th month of the Tibetan lunar calendar. So you can mark that down so every year you'll know exactly when it's going to be. You know, on our holy days, they always are at different times of the month, and so we always get caught by surprise about when do they get this year? You know, so thank you.
Thanks, Patrick. So Geshe-la couldn't be here today, but he advised us because of our really close connection with Lama Tsongkhapa and how we really exist because of his teachings, that we do some practice and some prayers from the Lama Tsongkhapa Guru Yoga, which are in the silver prayer books that we have out here. I don't think we have enough, so if you're sitting close to somebody, please share. And if we could have some helper dakas and dakinis to help distribute the books, they're in the baskets here. And let's make sure that, you know, we've got them where everybody needs them. And sit together with a friend or with somebody you have never met before and make a new friend and share.
Page 17.
Does everybody have a book or a buddy? Does anybody need a book or a buddy? We start on page 17. I'll come.
What page?
17.
Thank you.
Okay. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. How wonderful it would be if all sentient beings were to abide in equanimity, free of hatred and attachment, not holding some close and others distant. May they abide in equanimity. I myself will cause them to abide in equanimity. Please, Guru Deity, bless me to be able to do this. How wonderful it would be if sentient beings had happiness and the cause of happiness. May they have happiness and its cause. I myself will cause them to have happiness and its cause. Please, Guru Deity, bless me to be able to do this. How wonderful it would be if all sentient beings were free of suffering and its cause. May they be free of suffering and its cause. I myself will cause them to be free from suffering and its cause. Please, Guru Deity, bless me to be able to do this. How wonderful it would be if all sentient beings were never separated from the happiness, higher rebirth, and liberation. May they never be separated from these. I myself will cause them never to be separated from these. Please, Guru Deity, bless me to be able to do this. For the sake of all mother sentient beings, I shall quickly and more quickly actualize the Guru Deity's primordial state of Buddhahood in this very lifetime. I shall liberate all mother sentient beings from suffering and lead them to the great bliss of Buddhahood. For this purpose, I am going to practice the profound path of Guru Deity Yoga. For the sake of all mother sentient beings, I shall quickly and more quickly actualize the Guru Deity's primordial state of Buddhahood in this very life. I shall liberate all mother sentient beings from suffering and lead them to the great bliss of Buddhahood. For this purpose, I'm going to practice the profound path of Guru Deity Yoga. For the sake of all mother sentient beings, I shall quickly and more quickly actualize the Guru Deity's primordial state of Buddhahood in this very life. I shall liberate all mother sentient beings from suffering. Lead them to the great bliss of Buddhahood. For this purpose, I'm going to practice the profound path of Guru Deity Yoga. Everywhere may the ground be pure, free of the roughness of pebbles and so forth. May it be in the nature of lapis lazuli, smooth as the palm of one's hand. May human and divine offerings, action arranged and mentally created, clouds the finest Samantabhadra offerings, fill the entire space. Om Namo Bhagavate Vajrasara Pramadhanaye Tathagataya Arahate Samyak Samdhudaya Teyata Om Vajra Vajra Maha Vajra Maha Teja Vajra Maha Vidya Vajra Maha Bodhi Tita Vajra Maha Bodhi Mendopasam Kamana Vajra Savakawa Avarano Vishodana Vajra Soham Om Namo Bhagavate Vajrasara Pramadhanaye Tathagataya Arahate Samyak Samdhudaya Teyata Om Vajra Vajra Maha Vajra Maha Teja Vajra Maha Vidya Vajra Maha Bodhi Chitta Vajra Bodhi Mendopasam Kamana Vajra Savakawa Avarano Vishodana Vajra Soha Om Namo Bhagavate Vajrasara Pramadhanaye Tathagataya Arahate Samyak Samdhudaya Teyata Om Vajra Vajra Maha Vajra Maha Teja Vajra Maha Vidya Vajra Maha Bodhisitta Vajra Maha Bodhi Mendopasam Kamana Vajra Savakawa Avarano Vishodana Vajra Soha By the power of truth of the three rare sublime ones, the blessings of all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, the great wealth of the completed two collections, and the sphere phenomena being pure and inconceivable, may these piles of clouds of offerings arising through transformation by the Bodhisattvas, Arya, Samantabhadra, Manjushri, and so forth, unimaginable and inexhaustible, equaling the sky, arise and in the eyes of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas of the ten directions be received. You who emanate from the heart, the savior of the 100 devas, joyful realm, on the peak of a cloud water holder resembling clumps of extremely fresh white curd, the king of Dharma, Mlisha and Losang Drapa with your sons, I request you to come to this place. In the sky before me on a line throne, lotus and moon disc, the perfect pure Lama smiles with delight. Supreme field of the merit of mind's devotion, I beg you to abide for 100 eons to increase the teachings. Your holy mind understands the full extent of objects to be known. Your eloquent speech is the ear ornament of the fortunate one. Your holy body is glowing and glorious with fame. To you who is meaningful to see, hear, and remember, I prostrate. Beautiful drinking water, berries arranged flowers, fragrant and light scented water, and so forth, actually performed and mentally transformed oceans of clouds of offerings, I offer to you the supreme seal of nectar. Whatever non-virtues of body, speech, and mind, especially actions opposite to the three vows that I have created from beginning's time, from the bottom of my heart, I regret and fervently confess them all individually. In this time of the five degenerations, you strove for many listenings and realizations and made meaningful the perfect human rebirth by renouncing the eight worldly concerns and the Savior's extensive deeds. I rejoice sincerely from the depths of my heart. Please, holy, perfect, pure gurus, from billow clouds of compassion and wisdom in the sky of Dharmakaya, make rainfall to profound and extensive teachings of whatever is suitable for the ears of sentient beings or the objects to be subdued. I dedicate whatever virtues I have ever collected for the benefit of the teachings and of all sentient beings, and in particular, a venerable Losang Drapa to shine. Now turn to page 320. And we're just going to read the English translation of the Mandala of Seven Heaps. 320. Let us offer a Buddha field. Om Vajra ground, Ahum, mighty golden ground. Om Vajra friends, Ahum. Outside it is encircled by the surrounding wall, in the center of which are Sumeru, king of mountains, the eastern continent, Videha, tall body land, the southern, Jambudvipa, rose apple land, the western, Godaniya, kettle gift land, the northern, Kuru, the eastern minor continents, Deha and Videha, the southern, Kamara and Apara Kamara, Kauri land and western Kauri land, the western, Sada and Uttara Mantran, lands of the deceitful and the skilled in mantra, and the northern, Kuru and Kaurava, and the four continents are the precious mountain, the wish-granting tree, the wish-fulfilling cow, the unplowed harvest, the precious wheel, the precious jewel, the precious queen, the precious minister, the precious elephant, the precious horse, the precious general, and the great treasure face. Lady of grace, lady of garlands, lady of song, lady of dance, lady of flowers, lady of incense, lady of lamps, lady of perfume. The sun and the moon, the precious parasol, and the banner of victory in all quarters. In the center, the most perfect riches of gods and human beings, with nothing missing, pure and delightful. To my glorious, holy, and most kind root and lineage gurus, and in particular to the deity host, Lavaman Tsokapa, king of sages, Mahavajradhara, and their divine retinue, I shall offer these as a Buddha field. Please accept them with compassion for the sake of migrating beings. Having accepted them, please, out of your compassion, grant me inspiration to me and all migrating mother sentient beings as far as the limitless space. We'll go back to page 25. Idam Guru Rata Mandalakam Niryatayami. And then we're supposed to recite, bless us to actualize the entire Lam Rim within our mind stream. So can you say that together? Bless us to actualize the entire Lam Rim within our mind streams. Then the visualization. Three hollow white beams are emitted from the hearts of Lama Tsokapa and sons. The beams mix into one as they enter into your own crown. Milk-colored white nectar flows into you through the white beam tube and washes away all stains, sicknesses, spirit harms, defilements, and negative karma. Your own body becomes calm and clear like crystal. Vajradhara, Lord of Sages, source of all realizations, Avalokiteshvara, great treasure of objective action, Manjushi, master of stainless wisdom, Vajrapani, destroyer of the entire host of Maras, Losang Drapa, crown jewel of sages of the land and snow, to you, Guru Deity, embodying the three refuges, I make requests respectfully with my three doors. Please grant your blessing to liberate myself and others. Please bestow the supreme and common realization. So instead of doing that two more times, let's say the five-line prayers to Lama Tsokapa. So let's say this three times out loud and then 18 times, well, 17 times to herself, and then we'll say the last one to ourselves. Avalokiteshvara, great treasure of non-objectifying compassion, Manjushri, master of stainless wisdom, Vajrapani, destroyer of the entire host of Maras, Tsongkhapa, crown jewel of the sages of the land and soul, Tulosang Drapter, at your feet, I make request. Avalokiteshvara, great treasure of non-objectifying compassion, Manjushri, master of stainless wisdom, Vajrapani, destroyer of the entire host of Maras, Tsongkhapa, crown jewel of the sages of the land of snow, Tulosang Drapa, at your feet, I make request. Avalokiteshvara, great treasure of non-objectifying compassion, Manjushri, master of stainless wisdom, Vajrapani, destroyer of the entire host of Maras, Tsongkhapa, crown jewel of the sages of the land of snow, Tulosang Drapa, at your feet, I make request. Avalokiteshvara, great treasure of non-objectifying compassion, Manjushri, master of stainless wisdom, Vajrapani, destroyer of the entire host of Mara, Tsongkhapa, crown jewel of the sages of the land of snow, Tulosang Drapa, at your feet, I make request. Now seven wisdoms, starting on page 28. Please grant me blessings to achieve great understanding, which is able to understand and explain the meanings of extensive scriptures without resistance. Please grant me blessings to achieve clear wisdom, which can understand and clarify the details of very subtle and extremely difficult points without resistance. Please grant me blessings to achieve quick wisdom, which quickly cuts the non-understanding and wrong understanding and doubts without resistance. Please grant me blessings to achieve profound wisdom, which can understand and explain the meaning of scripture with depth and without resistance. Please grant me blessings to achieve the wisdom to explain the Dharma, which gives definite supreme understanding of all the meanings of all the words of the scriptures without resistance. Please grant me blessings to achieve debating wisdom, which enables one to achieve bravery over evil debate without resistance. Please grant me blessings to achieve writing wisdom, which makes meaning and sound perfect and gives clear understanding and happiness. On page 30, please grant me blessings to achieve extended great wisdom that is able to understand and explain the meanings of extensive scriptures without resistance. I request that the wisdoms of hearing, understanding, and meditation may increase. I request that the wisdom of expounding, debating, and writing may be developed. I request may be granted. Please grant me blessings to be quickly like you. I request that the transcendental wisdom of the simultaneously born great bliss may arise. I request that the stains of truly believing illusory thought may be purified. I request that the net of doubts that are only in the mind may be cut off. Please grant me blessings to be quickly like you. So as we read the foundation of all good qualities, let's pause between the stanzas, to sort of like a meditation. The foundation of all good qualities is the kind and perfect pure guru. Correct devotion to him is the root of the path. By clearly seeing this and applying great effort, please bless me to rely upon him with great respect. Understanding that the precious freedom of this rebirth is found only once is greatly meaningful and is difficult to find again. Please bless me to generate the mind that unceasingly day and night takes this essence. This life is as impermanent as a water bubble. Remember how quickly it decays and death comes. After death, just as a shadow follows the body, the results in black and white karma follow. Finding firm and definite conviction in this, please bless me always to be careful, to abandon even the slightest negativities and accomplish all virtuous deeds, seeking some... Seeking samsara pleasures is the door to all suffering. They are uncertain and cannot be relied upon. Recognizing these shortcomings, please bless me to generate the strong wish for the bliss of liberation. Led by this pure thought, mindfulness, alertness, and great caution arise. The root of the teaching is keeping the pratimoksha vows. Please bless me to accomplish this essential practice. Just as I have fallen into the sea of samsara, so have all mother migratory beings. Please bless me to see this, train in supreme bodhicitta, and bear the responsibility of freeing migratory beings. Even if I merely develop bodhicitta, but I don't practice the three types of morality, I will not achieve enlightenment. With my clear recognition of this, please bless me to practice the bodhisattva vows with great energy. Once I have pacified distractions to wrong objects and correctly analyzed the meaning of reality, please bless me to generate quickly within my mind stream the unified path of calm abiding and special insight. Having become a pure vessel by training in the general path, please bless me to enter the holy gateway of the fortunate ones, the supreme Vajra vehicle. At that time, the basis of accomplishing the two attainments is keeping pure vows in samaya. As I have become firmly convinced of this, please bless me to protect these vows and pledges like my life. Then, having realized the importance of the two stages, the essence of the Vajrayana, by practicing with great energy, never giving up the four sessions, please bless me to realize the teachings of the Holy Guru. Like that, may the gurus who show the noble path and the spiritual friends who practice it have long lives. Please bless me to pacify all outer and inner hindrances. In all my life, separated from perfect groups, enjoy the magnificent karma. By completing the qualities of the stages of the path, may I attain the state of Vajrayana. Now we're finished with the silver book, so now we go to the gold prayer book. Now you said that we were going directly to this. You said we weren't going to do that. We were going to find Lama and prayer. Okay, so we're going to go back to the silver prayer book to page 33 and read the Guru Entering the Heart. Sorry. Page 33, the silver prayer book. Magnificent and precious root guru, please abide on lotus, sun, and moon seed at my heart. God, with your great kindness, and grant me the realizations of your holy body, speech, and mind. Magnificent, precious root guru, please abide on the lotus, sun, and moon seat at my heart. Guide me through your great kindness and grant me the general sublime realization. Magnificent and precious root guru, please abide on the lotus, sun, and moon seat at my heart. Guide me through your great kindness. Please remain stable without separation from my body, speech, and mind until I attain enlightenment. And Guru Lama Tsongkhapa enters into your heart and becomes completely one with your body, speech, and mind. So I think we have time for the three principal aspects of the path. We turn to page 141 in the Gold Prayer Book. I bow down to my perfect gurus. The essential meaning of the victorious one teachings, the path praised by all the holy victors and their children, the gateway of the fortunate ones desiring liberation, this I shall try to explain as much as I can. Those who are not attached to the pleasures of circling samsara, who strive to make freedom and endowments meaningful, who trust themselves to the path pleasing the victorious ones, the fortunate ones listen with a calm mind. Without the complete intention definitely to be free from circling, there is no way to pass away attachment, seeking pleasure effects in the ocean of circling. Also, by craving for cyclic existence, body beings are continuously bound. Therefore, at the very beginning, seek renunciation. Vehement endowments are difficult to find, and life has no time to spare. By gaining familiarity with this, attraction to the appearance of this life is reversed. By thinking over and over again that actions and their effects are unreturned. Repeating, contemplate the miseries of life existence. Attraction to the appearances of future lives is rebirth. When by having trained in that way, there is no arising even for a second. Attraction to the perfections of life existence. And all day and night, the intention seeking liberation arises. Then the thought of renunciation has been generated. Even if renunciation has been developed, if it is not possessed by the mind of enlightenment, it does not become the cause of the perfect bliss of unsurpassed enlightenment. Therefore, the wise generates the supreme mind of enlightenment. Swept away by the current of the four powerful rivers, tied by the tight bonds of karma so hard to endure, caught in the iron net of self-grasping, completely enveloped by the total darkness of ignorance, endlessly reborn in psychic existence, ceaselessly tormented by the three sufferings, thinking that all mothers in such a condition generate the supreme mind of enlightenment. In short, if like the mother whose cherished son has fallen into a pit of fire and experiences even one second of his suffering as an unbearable eternity, reflection on the suffering of all mother sentient beings has made it impossible for you to bear their suffering for even one second, and the wish seeking enlightenment for their sake arises without effort, then you have realized the supreme precious mind of enlightenment. Without the wisdom realizing ultimate reality, even though you have generated renunciation in the mind of enlightenment, you cannot cut the root cause of circling. Therefore, attempt the method to realize dependent arising. One who sees the cause and effect of all phenomena, of both cyclic existence and the state beyond sorrow as forever unbetrayed, and for whom any object trusted by the grasping mind has completely disappeared, has that time entered the path pleasing the Buddha. If the appearance of dependent relation, which is unbetraying, is accepted separately from emptiness, and as long as they are seen as separate, then one has still not realized the Buddha's intent. If these two realizations are happening simultaneously without alternation, and for merely seeing dependent relation as completely unbetraying, then death and ascertainment comes that completely destroys the way all objects are apprehended as truly existent. At that time, the analysis of the ultimate view is complete. Furthermore, appearance eliminates the extreme of existence, and emptiness eliminates the extreme of non-existence. If you realize how emptiness manifests in the matter of cause and effect, then you are not captivated by wrong notions holding extreme views. In this way, you realize exactly the vital points of the principal aspects of path. Resources seeking solitude generate the power of effort and quickly accomplish your final goal, my child. Okay, now turn to page 263. Read the final Lamrim dedication. From my two collections, Fast is Faith, that I've amassed from working with effort at this practice for a great length of time, may I become a chief leading Buddha for all those whose minds, wisdom, mind is blinded by ignorance. Even if I do not reach this state, may I be held in your loving compassion for all lives, Manjushri. May I find the best of completed graded passes of teaching, and may I please all the Buddhists by my practice, using skillful means drawn by the strong force of compassion. May I clear the darkness in the minds of all beings with the points of the path as I have discerned them. May I hold Buddha's teachings for a very long time, with my heart going out with great compassion, in whatever direction the most precious teachings have not yet spread or once spread have declined, may I reveal this treasure of happiness in it. May the minds of those who wish for liberation be granted bondless peace, and the Buddha's deeds be nourished for a long time. By even this greater path of enlightenment completed, due to the wondrous virtuous conduct of Buddhists and their sons, may all human and non-human beings who eliminate adversity and create conducive conditions for practicing an excellent path, never be parted in any of their lives from the purest path praised by the Buddhas. Whenever someone makes effort to act in accordance with the tenfold Mahayana virtuous practices, may always be assisted by the mighty ones and may oceans of prosperity spread everywhere. Let's now go to page 246. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness, joy, by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms, the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drink. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid, and those bound be free. May the powerless find power, and may the people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. Now let's read some short, long life prayers. On pages 244 and 245, starting with the one for His Holiness. The land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good. All-powerful Chenra is the Tenzin Gyatso. Please remain until samsara ends. And on the opposite page, at the bottom, the one who masters speech at a very young age, the one who has great patience to receive the name Avatara, the one who has great precision to spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa, listen for Lama ornament, the yellow hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. And then for Lama Tsongkhapa Rinpoche, you uphold the doer's moral way, the service, the bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Mandana's victorious doctrine. The masterfully accomplished magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, savior of myself and others, your disciples, please, please live long. And then for Geshe and Geshe Sangpo's long, healthy, happy life, seven Tara mantras. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re So Ha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re So Ha.
Thank you, everybody. Two more things happening today in relation to Lama Tsongkhapa Day. At 6 o'clock, we'll be doing light offerings at the stupa. If it's raining, we're just going to arrange the offerings here inside right up so that it can shine forth from the window onto the stupa. The children have been decorating bags for luminaries, so it should be a lot of fun. So let's hope for clear weather. And then we have a Guru Puja at 7 o'clock. And I think Phil has an announcement.
Okay. So we have a new exciting thing to introduce in the hospitality field. Heather, are you here today? Okay, so I'll do it. It's called Dinners at Six. So this is just about having some fun. And last night we just got together and tried it out at Aladdin's in North Hills. Do people know Lassiter Mill, that kind of area? So we have about, we have some hosts, and then we have some co-hosts, and then we will kind of arrange it so there'll be one or two of us there, and anybody is welcome to just come every Saturday at 6 o'clock. So it's just going to go on unless there's like a party happening here or something. We're going to kick it off on December 22nd. These are just the ways in which we want to engage together because we like each other. We just want to, yeah, right? So we just want to keep the energy going and just getting together. This is not about Dharma discussions. If it comes up, we'll allow that. But it's just about getting to know each other, about just hanging out. So you'll see some posters and things that Sandy's designed that will start coming out soon, and we'll introduce it. But I wanted to let you know verbally that's going to happen. And we'll just see what happens. If we have too many people, we'll figure it out from there. We'll go to the stadium or something. So let's see. What's next? Is it newcomer Q&A today? Do we have one of our, who's our leader today? Is it Laura? So I'm kind of curious about that because if they're not here, then it won't have, Sandy will do it? Okay. So it's either Jack's traveling. So it's either Brian or.
How many newcomers do we have
today? Okay. So it's either Brian or Laura's here. So I don't know who's Julie, Brian, or Laura. So just check out and see if they're not doing it. And Sandy, she'll jump in and do it. Thanks. Thanks, Sandy. And, so would you mind standing up, Linda? Ha, she doesn't know why. And turn around and, yep, there's a new t-shirt. So everything changes, that's a fact. Thank you, thank you. So I did, she probably heard, but I told people last week, if you wear them today, you can greet Geshe-la, so that didn't happen. Hopefully you noticed that from the email from Donna. So if you buy a t-shirt today, or if you bought one already, and you were just, you know, drumming it up, and if you come next week with your t-shirt, then we'll just, if that's okay with you, just stand, you know, one of these. And Geshe-la always looks at us like, why is everybody doing that? So then we kind of say, these are your words. So it's always fun to do that. So if you want to shop in the bookstore, Amanda's out there today. And next we have our annual appeal segment from Hemant. He's going to come up and give you a few words from his heart. Thank you, Hemant.
Thank you, Jen. So first of all, happy Tsongkhapa Day. It's a beautiful holy day. And we are coming to the end of the annual appeal. So I'd like to share a short story on the pilgrimage we just recently, a group of us from Kadampa Center took, 14 of us, along with Geshe Sangpo, three of our Kadampa Center venerables, and just wonderful people from Kadampa Center. And I'd like to talk a little bit about it, and I'll relate to what it meant for us. And so we went to Sarah J. Monastery. This is the home of our Geshe-las, where they school, where they lived, and not only that, but their teacher lives, Kensho Rinpoche. His picture is right there. And we were able to meet with them and actually see the lifestyle of all the monks. We've been hearing about what they do for 20, 26 years, and actually get to see how rigorous their timetable is and where a lot of these things are being trained and learned and so forth. Then we took a trip to Bodh Gaya, which is the northeast part of India, and it is just a beautiful place, a beautiful old stupa, and the Bodhi tree. This is where Shakyamuni Buddha, as we know, was enlightened. Okay? From there, we took the side trips to what Patrick talked about today, Nalanda University. We saw where Shanti Deva actually meditated. We saw Nagarjuna's room and Atisha, and all of a sudden, so why am I telling you all these things? It's not about my trip we took. There was a connection made this time for me. And I kept on thinking, why is it so different? So Patty and I have been very privileged to travel to Thailand and different places, but this time it was different. There was a bliss, there was a connection. I don't even know the words to say, but oneness. There was some sort of a wow feeling. And then I started to think, the common root of all that is Kadampa Center. You know, 10, 11 years ago, Sandy, myself, Patty were sitting here, new novices, looking at discovering Buddhism, mind and its potential, from our director here, Ravi. And then I've seen how the authentic teachings from our Geshe-la. You know, and then I started to think, oh my goodness, we've learned Lamrim, discovering Buddhism. Then we start to think about all the things Kadampa Center does, from prison projects to outreach. Then you start thinking about all the different programs. We have a children program. It just goes on and on and on. But then I started to see the authentic teaching that our Geshe-la has given us. And that connection now was so different for me, because now I see the teachings. And I see why that place already has its own little aura, right? But the connection was made for me. It was much more deepened feeling this time. And I kept on thinking the root of all that really started at Kadampa Center. How valuable this place is. And you know, it's really interesting. We don't have to go so far away. We have the teachings right here. We have venerables here. We have Geshe-la here. We have all these advanced teachers here. We have a stupa here. We can do all of those things. And we saw people prostrating. Sandy, you can attest to it, from 5 o'clock till 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, doing thousands of prostrations. We have this wonderful place here that we can learn so many things. And you heard Don even today talking about wish-fulfilling Gampa, right, this place. Well, that really happened for me and Patty. When we were thinking about, have no idea who Shantideva was, what did Nagarjuna teach, and then we were actually at a place on a hill where Buddha taught emptiness, where he taught Heart Sutra. We went to Nalanda where Shantideva studied and meditated, and it had a whole different meaning to see Sarah Jay and the monks giving up their rooms so they can accommodate us. We saw that connection made. And it was so emotional for me, and I give really, really genuinely give credit to Kadampa Center. This is the gem in Raleigh, North Carolina, for crying out loud. Think about it for a second. Just think about it. You don't have to go so far. You can come here, and you get that kind of teaching. And so Patty and I feel very privileged to give to Kadampa Center. Obviously, this is the appeal is coming to an end, and I wanted to just find words to say, how are we connected? And we don't only want Kadampa Center to just sustain and maintain. We want it to grow and thrive. And you can't get visiting teachers and LOPs and continued teachings and this kind of a feeling that we get without your support. So on such a holy day, all I'm asking is, if you haven't done so, find a little spot in your heart to make sure you are generous and you donate to Kadampa Center for its growth and continue to impact so many people positively, you know, just like it has for us. And I know that Jill has a beautiful poster out there. When you go to get your shoes on, you'll see it, how 78% of the appeal, the goal is for what. And then there are different buckets from Dana and Puja and Children's Program and so many things that you can give towards. Okay, so just think about that, and it has made a big change in our lives and so many others, and it continues to reach out to so many wonderful people and volunteers here, and hopefully it makes a big change in your life too. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Hemant. That was lovely. So if anybody, as we do every Sunday, if you haven't seen the annual appeal packet, Susie is still here. She can pass it out. And then we have the mug that's now in. So we encourage you guys to take your mug this year and grab it if you've sustained us in any way. So in-kind, service, practice, or with financial giving, you can have a mug out front. And that's it. So thank you very much for your attention.
Thanks, Jill and Paniji. And I forgot to say something really important, which is Geshe-la's coming back next Sunday. So, of course, we will do our usual. We'll gather in the lobby to greet him with katas, and we'll have an opportunity to also make personal kata offerings at the end of when he's here. And you can, write a little card and tell him about your practice while he's been away, or make a little financial offering to him if you want to. And we have katas in the bookstore if you wanted to get one. And now you can all go home and enjoy your afternoon. Thank you.